This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Good morning, church. I'm glad to be here this morning. Can we just appreciate our worship team, yeah? Amazing. And let's just pray the blessing of God on them, because they're doing, I know they get together on Mondays and they practice, and it's good to see that when people practice and people do the right things, they come to bless us, and it's a blessing to the church. So we bless you guys. We pray God will continue to increase your strength. God will continue to increase everybody involved with the worship band, and God will just bless you with the time you've invested. Amen. Amen. We thank God. God is growing us. God is prospering us. He's taking us to a greater height. Like Matthew said, we'll be talking about fasting for the next 2 weeks. Fasting. I'm not new to fasting, but I am learning about fasting. So everything I'll be sharing this morning, I'll be sharing from a point of view of learning. So I'm still a student of this. So I want to know more about it. And that's why maybe God steered me into, you know, kind of like looking into it. And I spoke to Matthew as well. And I believe as a church, God is calling us to be more disciplined in this spiritual tool. This morning, I'll be talking about what fasting is. So what is fasting? What are the types of fasting we have in the Bible? We'll be talking about the role food plays in our life. So the relationship between ourselves and food. And we'll talk about why do people fast. So everything we'll be talking about will be based from the Bible. Okay, so we're talking about the biblical fast and what the fasting looks like in the Bible. And at the end of it, we'll be having questions and answers as well. So I hope you've come with your questions. And if you don't have a question, think about one as I am preaching or talking. I'll be teaching, actually. So I want this to be very interactive. So I might come to you and ask questions or bring a mic. You know, if you've got one of those nice Bible app on your phone, because you might be looking at different Bible passages from different translations. And if you've got those electronic Bible on your phone, you'll be really helpful to us. So please don't feel free to kind of like join in, help us out. I want everybody to participate as much as you can. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk. Nice one. It's funny we're doing fasting, this topic, after Easter. So it's not to make anybody feel guilty, but if you've got Easter eggs that you want to get rid of after this talk, come and see me. And I'll do the job. Right. So what is fasting? Let's start. What is fasting? All right. When I was doing this, I kind of like looked into different Bible dictionaries and tried to get the definition of fasting. So fasting, of the word fast, it is from the Hebrew word called som, meaning to cover the mouth. Or from the Greek word nestu, meaning to abstain. So to cover the mouth or to abstain. So it means you're actually getting yourself out of something. You're stopping yourself doing something, you know, something that goes into the body. Yeah, so that's what the biblical explanation of fast means. So in the Bible, fast can be defined as abstaining from food and maybe water. Okay, so you can fast and water is included in that. You're not having anything go into your body. But in the Bible, there are examples of people that fasted without, as in they've drank, but they've abstaining from food. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's either food or maybe water. Okay, let's look at the types of fast we have in the Bible now. So at this point, I'd like to introduce guys to this book. So when I was preparing for this message, when we were in Bible school last week, I saw this book on the shelf. It's called God's Chosen Fast. It's by a gentleman called Arthur Wallace. I believe he's late now. Is that correct, Mr. Sheffield? Yeah, he is late now. Mr. Sheffield has actually met him before. He's a great man of God.
He was in
Mr. Sheffield's life group. Can you believe that? Yeah. So great man of God. I don't know when this book was. I don't know if that is reflecting Mr. Sheffield's age in any way.
Yes, it is.
You see, I don't like reading. And I read this book within 3 or 4 days, I think. It's really detailed about fasting. It tells you what you need to know about fasting. It is very good, and there's a life experience in there as well as what one of the contributors, how he fasted and his journey through that as well. I got mine on Amazon for less than £5. If you want to borrow it, come and see me after the meeting. I'll give it to you. But just go on Amazon, get one for yourself. It's really good. So types of fasting. In the Bible, we have three types of fasting. So there is one called absolute fast. There is normal fast and there's partial fast. So what's an absolute fast? An absolute fast is a fast where people go without food and water. Okay? So you're not having anything go into your body. Bible's out. Let's look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verse 7 to 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 7 to 9. If you're there, say, check me out.
Check me out.
Thank you, Matthew. So Matthew is there. Nice one. Okay. So Acts chapter 9, verse 7 to 9 says, the men with Saul stood pitchless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and he did not eat or drink. Okay, so bear that in mind. He remained there for 3 days and he did not eat or drink. So 3 days. Another Bible passage, you don't have to open to this. This is Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. And we pick up the story from there was a plot to kill the Jews, and Esther was concerned about it. And she sent this message. She said, then Esther send this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat for 3 days, night or day. So do not eat or drink, sorry. They say do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. So in that passage as well, we can see that they did not eat or drink. Naturally speaking, medically speaking as well, I think the body can only survive 3 days without water. So you need water to survive. You can't go without 3 days without surviving. Although in the Bible, there's an exception to this rule, which we're going to look in a minute. And it's a 40-day fast by Moses when he went up to the Mount Sinai to meet God. And we're going to read that chapter in a second. But you guys are thinking, oh, but Jesus fasted 40 days as well. But we're going to look into that in a minute. So open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. So Exodus 34, verse 28 says, Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. In all that time, he ate no bread and drank no water, and the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on the stone. So Moses was there with the Lord, and he ate no bread and drank no water. So Moses, the man, went up to Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord, and he ate and did not drink for 40 days. Right, naturally speaking, and medically speaking, that is impossible. You can't do that, okay? So you cannot drink for 40 days. Your body will give up on you because body needs water. Body can survive without food for 40 days, but it can't survive without water for 40 days. So how did Moses do this? But we have to bear in mind, Moses was face to face with God. Moses was in the presence of God. So there was something supernatural happening there. So, and we can only experience that when we get to heaven. So that's like likening that experience to you being in heaven and you're seeing God. There is a spiritual dynamic to that. We can't just read it as face value as what it is. Okay, so that's absolute fast, yeah? Are you still with me, by the way?
Yeah,
good. Right, nice. Absolute fast. So we talk about partial fast now. Partial fast. So partial fast is when you decide that, okay, I'm still going to eat, I'm still going to drink, but I am making a decision to avoid something, okay? So Lent season, Mrs. Sheffield, where are you? I know during Lent, did you give up chocolate or something? Is it chocolate you gave up during Lent?
Snacking.
Sorry?
No snacking.
No snacking during Lent. So that is an example of a partial fast. So some people will say, during Lent, I'm giving up chocolate, so I'm not going to have chocolate. It is an example of a partial fast. Some people will say, I would drink alcohol for a length of time. You know, that is a partial fast. But let's look at a biblical example that talks about a partial fast. Okay? 1 Daniel chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Daniel 1, verse 11. So Daniel chapter 1, verse 11. Yeah. Sorry, not 1 Daniel. My wife was correcting me there.
Right. Forward to when you're
both from Daniel spoke with the attendants who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on the diet of vegetable and water. So please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetable and water. So there is a diet there. So they ate something for 10 days of vegetable and water, okay? And that's a partial fast. And the last one I'll go into is the normal fast. So a normal fast is when you decide to go for a length of time without eating. So you're still drinking, but you're not eating. So you're drinking water, basically, but you're not eating. And this is what Jesus did. So let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. So he says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Did you get that? Jesus ate nothing. He didn't say he did not drink, because we can clearly say in the Bible, times when people did not drink, it says they did not eat and drink. Yeah? But in this passage, it did not say Jesus did not drink. So Jesus, in the bodily form, just like me and you, survived. Well, fasted for 40 days. So we can assume that Jesus did not eat food, but he drank water. Right, so we've gone into that. We're going to look at the role the food plays in our life. Food is really important. I like food.
Amen.
Amen. Food has a social aspect in our life, in terms of when we have a gathering, and I thank God for church and how we have a culture in this church. After the Sunday meeting, we meet in each other's houses and we have something to eat together. In the book of Acts as well, because that is biblical, and whatever we say and whatever we do, we want to be based on the Bible principles. In the book of Acts, people met together and they ate together. There is something that happens when we eat together. There's this psychologist I was reading about, and she says, take a moment to think of one occasion, gathering, celebration, or holiday that does not involve food in some fundamental way. Are you having trouble? I'm not surprised. We live in a food-centric society, a culture so obsessed with eating that we incorporate this behavior in almost every social activity imaginable. If you plan to associate with other people in any practical fashion, there will be a meal, drink, or refreshment involved. But why? For one, food is a form of social currency. We offer others food to show them that we care. Food is a versatile gift that everyone can accept, understand, and appreciate. When people are gathering, food welcomes and puts people at ease. As well, food is a great distraction and adds a bit of entertainment to any situation. Food at a gathering creates a positive atmosphere and ensure group of happy campers. Yeah. I remember when I finish eating, this song comes to my mind. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Because food is good. And apart from the fact that there's a social element to food, food is important for our well-being. So we get our minerals, our vitamins, our nutrients. We get it from food. Even fat. Fat is good for us. We get it from food. But in pharmacy, most of you would know I'm a pharmacist, I work with drugs. There is a saying in pharmacy that we say the difference between a drug and a poison is the dose. Okay? So, for example, there's a drug called Digitalis. A lot of people would use it for atrial fibrillation. It's actually called Digoxin. That's what we give people for. And it helps the heart beat regularly. With Digoxin, in the normal therapeutic dose, it's beneficial for you. It keeps your heart going. But give a little bit more than that, and you can actually kill that person. So the difference between a drug and a poison is the dose. And the same thing can be associated with the food. With food, the difference between overeating and overeating is how much you consume. Okay? So when you start eating more than what your body requires, then we start gaining weight. Our body won't function the way it should function. So when it comes to fasting and in terms of avoiding food, there is a health benefit to it as well. So our physical bodies sometimes need time away from food, you know. Although we're looking at the spiritual aspect of it today, and we'll be looking at the spiritual aspect of it next week as well. So now, let's look at another side of it. So I've talked about the social element of food, which is fantastic. It's good. When we get together, we eat nice. There is emotional eating as well, okay? There are situations where people get in stressful situation, and Paul mentioned that earlier. He said, when something happens to me, I lose my voice. And sometimes we all are in that situation where we are in a difficult situation, and what happens to us is we lose our voice, we don't know where to go, and the first thing is you open the fridge, the tub of ice cream, you comfort it. Has anybody been there? Yeah? Amen. We comfort it. Now, ask yourself that question as a Christian. When I have a difficult situation, the first thing I run to is food. What has food replaced in that gap? Okay? We serve the comforter. We serve the rock. But why is my body craving food so much that the first thing I lust for when I have a difficult situation is grab something out of the street or grab a Mars bar or chocolate and eat? Just food for thought. Just think about it. You know, why is that? As the food replaced a comfort you should have doing something else. Okay? Another aspect of food is hunger. When you're hungry, and it's often said, a hungry man is an angry man. Yeah? I don't pronounce my H's very well. And the body is meant to function for us. Our souls are meant to control our body. It's not the other way around. Okay? So why am I like when I'm hungry? Why does food arouse these different emotions in me? Why can't I control my body to know that when I'm hungry, I can still display the fruits of the Spirit and not leave the fruits of the Spirit by the door? And then my wife is thinking, he needs food, you know? I've been there. And these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. So why is food so important, you know? I mean, the medical side of it will be like, oh yeah, you need glucose and glucose is good for your functioning. But yes, you do need glucose and glucose is good for your functioning and energy. So at those times, you don't have energy in your body. But at the same time, you can survive 40 days just on water. Jesus did it. And apart from Jesus, I like to think about a normal human being. I read these pictures and think, how does it affect me in this day and age right now? And apart from Jesus doing it, there are men, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this, although I didn't ask his permission, David Lyon is one of the churches in Leicester that is twin to us. We can say twin to us, yeah? Yeah. So, David Lyon, I remember him talking. And he said God led him to fast. I can't remember the number of days he did it for 7 days. And within that, he had a revelation. I don't know what that revelation is. He didn't say, but there are instances where people we come in contact with day to day are doing this in their Christian life, you know, and they're not losing their marbles. Then they're going without food and they're still all right, you know. So why does food make me so hungry when I don't have it? Interesting. We talk about cravings as well. So this is still talking about the role food plays in our life. So cravings, why do I have that itch to eat something so desperately? You know, a craving is defined as a powerful desire for something. You know? So we're talking about cravings. Cravings can be of a different thing. So remember, when we defined fasting earlier, we said it's the abstinence, the covering of the mouth. You know, so basically it stops something going into your body. So now, talking about cravings, the powerful desire for something. Let's talk about caffeine. What role does that play? You know, what are you like if you don't have a cup of tea in the morning, a cup of coffee in the morning? Why does your body need it so much? Apart from caffeine, there are other things, you know, there's nicotine as well, you know. Why does my body desire that so much, you know? There's a verse in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 19. You can write it down. But I'm going to look at the second part of that chapter. It says, "For you are a slave to whatever controls you." So it's the second part of that. You're a slave to whatever controls you. So the funny thing is, you don't know what you're a slave to until you abstain from it. Yeah? Are you in agreement? So until I say, okay, I'm putting myself in the situation where I don't want to, I'm trying not to eat, I don't know if I'm going to be a slave to that. Until I say I'm putting myself in a situation where I'm trying not to drink tea or coffee in reverence to God, okay? So the thing is, when you are a slave to something, it takes away the ultimate. You can't be a slave to two masters, okay? So what is it? And I just want you to ask yourself different questions. What is it that I think I can't do without? In my own case, I'm actually thinking as I'm speaking, I'm thinking rice. Tony's laughing so much. No, this is a valid question. And now God has brought that into my mind. I have to look into that. Let's still think about the relationship we have with food and look at biblical examples now. Is it not funny that when Adam was tempted, don't know what Adam was doing, maybe he went to the farm, he was coming in, and Eve saw him. And this, you know, the devil has already been to Eve and said, you know what, God told you not to eat of that fruit or from that tree. But Eve then plucked it and gave it to Adam. And Adam took a bite. The sin was disobedience, but what the devil used was food. The eating of the apple. Now think about the story of Jesus. When Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the one who took away our sin. One of the things the devil used to tempt him is, why don't you turn these stones to bread? And Jesus said, you know what, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus overcame that temptation. So think about it. How come sin came to the world through food, you know, through one bowing down to food? And the one who took away our sin overcame that temptation. So it's a case of controlling our emotions, what we attach to food. Why does it have this much effect on us as human beings, you know? So after this, I want you to kind of like look into that and think, this is quite interesting. When I saw that, and again, I draw reference to God's Chosen Fast by Arthur Wallace. I love the things I'm bringing out here. It's highlighted in this book as well. So please, again, read it if you can. Esau, in the Bible, remembers the story of Esau. Jacob and Esau, yeah, two brothers. And Esau was the eldest son. He was the one with the destiny child, basically. And Jacob stole the birthright just by cooking him food. So he came in, and because he liked, is it porridge or something? He liked porridge a lot, and he cooked it and gave it to him. Just like that, boom, lost. One more example in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. We can actually open to this, Ezekiel 16, 49. And this is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed the land. And this is Prophet Ezekiel talking about that incident and what happened there. It says, "Now this was the scene of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. So there's something that happens when we get into a stage where we have plenty. A stage of plenty. A stage where you can't discipline yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to go on a self-denial to focus on God. There's something that happens within there, which we can't, at the moment, I can't explain that, but there's a spiritual element to it. That when I get to a stage where I am too comfortable, I sometimes can go out of step. And I say this to my wife. I said sometimes, I watch what I say. And this is by experience because something happened to me. And I had to remind myself, I need to be careful when this happens. When I'm really excited and really happy, I find out sometimes I do something that later on I ask myself, why did I do that? Excitement, when you're high, yeah, when you're high, can make you make decisions or say things that you, later on you'd be like, this is not me. How come I've reacted in this situation? But when you look at it, it's when you're in the comfortable stage. I am Nigerian. I was born in Nigeria. I came to the UK when I was 18. And my father used to say a proverb in Nigeria. He says, right, moving on then. Now, I'll explain. It's quite comforting to think I'm the only one that speaks this language in this room. Well, actually, I don't know. It might be. I'm the only one that speaks this language. It means when you're full, that's when you're looking for excitement. It's when you're full, that's when you seek thrills and adventure. So it would say to us, maybe when we are, you know, you've just finished your dinner and you're kind of like running around and stuff like that. And it will say it as a warning. Means now you're full, now you want excitement. You won't catch somebody who is starving saying, I want to go bungee jumping. Or I want to go skydiving. Because they will think I need to fill my belly first. I don't have anything against skydiving. I would love to do it if I can. But it's just a case of the food gives us a confidence. Something that it's out of body, you know, it makes you think I am on top of the world. And when you start feeling that, you're taking the focus away from God. And this is the whole point, really. And this is where fasting is really important. We're still talking about fasting, but we're just talking about different roles food plays. So to make a picture in your mind of how important food is in our life. Right, now, moving on, why do people fast? Why do people fast? Now, we're going to look at biblical examples and situations where people have actually fasted and why they fasted. This is my final section, and after this, we'll go into questions and answers. So the number one reason I have here is to be humble before God. Has anybody got ESV? Yep. ESV, you have, Matthew, thank you. Can you read Psalm 69, verse 10? It's all day to make this work. Yeah.
It says, when I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach.
Thank you. When I wept and humbled myself with fasting. This point, David was really going through a serious time. You know, if you read the Psalm from verse 1 to 10, it talks about the oppression he's faced and the difficult time he's facing. So David has already gone through a serious time. And he's saying here, when I wept, I humbled myself with fasting. I have been in this situation before where you find yourself in a situation where you know that there's nothing you can do to change this yourself. You need to rely on God. And that is when you put yourself through fasting. Humility is defined as, it is the opposite of pride, and is the quality of having a modest or a low view of one's importance. So it's having a low view of one's importance. So that's why you're humbling yourself. So if you say, I'm being humble, I am not attaching any importance to myself. And when you get to that stage as a Christian, when you're not attaching any importance to yourself, whatever you do, you're using it to glorify God. And that's what fasting, why David would do it. I remember the situation in my life. I lost my job due to my own fault. I did things I shouldn't do, lost my job. And as I was kicking myself, I was thinking, how can this happen? Why did I find myself in this situation? Why have I put myself in this situation? And the only way I could respond to that is by fasting. And I'm saying this because I feel like when you're talking about a message like this, you need to have a personal experience. What have I benefited from it? And my experience through that was that at a point where I felt the lowest, and Paul mentioned it earlier, a point where you don't know what to do, a point where you've lost your voice, a point where you can't, the only person you can talk to is God. A point where when you talk to people, all they will say is, I'll keep praying for you. But sometimes at those points, we need to know that there is something else we can do. We can fast. Amen. Fasting is saying, I am humbling myself. I'm throwing myself down. God, please intervene. God, please take me out of this. I am humbling myself because in of me, I have no strength to do anything. And this is it. Humility. Abstaining from food. Because what food will bring down is give you energy, will give you the wisdom, you know. When you start getting the food, you start thinking ideas. How can I pluck myself out of this situation? But when you abstain, it's saying, I don't even have energy to think. But God, I'm leaving it over to you. What fasting does in those situations, you cannot have. You see, biblical fasting is about the mindset. It's not about the physical, what you're doing, you know. There are people that are very boastful, and the Bible talks about this. We're not going to go into that today. Like, I can fast for 40 days, you know, make it look all outwardly like, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm so spiritual. Smell my breath, I stink. God does not look at that. It's about what is in there. Why are you doing it? And that is what the biblical fasting is all about. The state of mind. And anything within the Christendom is about the state of mind. What Christ teaches is about how you feel in there. And if your heart says, God, I'm submitting myself to you, and I want to honor you in this way, in fasting, then it can see genuinely in there. My situation, God brought me out of a place where I lost all hope. A place where I've given up on myself. And I laid myself down and said, God, please intervene. And he did it. He did it. I'm talking about 5-6 years ago now. And I'm in a place where at that point, if I'd looked at 5 years and the mess I got myself into, I would have said, 5 years from now, I don't know what I'll be doing compared to the lifestyle I was living at the time, you know, because of the decisions that were coming towards me and the consequences of my action, the things that would happen to me. But God turned that around. And I can say that 5 years down the line, I am actually in a situation where if I'd not done or made that bad decision, it's only God that can have propelled me to this. You know? So that is, for me, and that's a personal experience. You can't take that from me. That is my experience. And that's the thing about fasting. Until you do it, until you say, God, I want to do this. You know, I am submitting and laying myself down. It is your experience. Nobody can take it away from you. No matter how I preach from morning to night, if you don't do it, you don't know. It is a spiritual tool such as prayer. Prayer, somebody can say, I will pray for you, da, da, da. But if you pray yourself and you ask and you see God intervene in that situation, nobody can take that from you. It is your experience. And it's your heart attitude, our expectation. Right, humility. I'll move on to appease God. So the second point why people fast is to appease God. We could see this in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5. Then we'll read verse 10. Jonah 3, verse 5. So this is the people of Nineveh. God was not pleased with the way they were living. These guys were really something else, man. You know, they were just living life, doing the things they do, you know. And God sent Jonah to go and give them the word and say, you know what, I'm going to punish you guys. I'm going to, you know. Anyways, read the book of Jonah. You get it. And verse 5 says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, for the greatest of them, from the greatest of them to the least of them. So you can see that attitude of humbling there as well. In the Old Testament, when people fast, they put sackcloth on themselves and they put ashes on their head. It's an outward appearance of saying, I'm humbling myself. But really, God looks at the heart as well. But God could see the genuine repentance in what these people had done. And what happened in verse 10? It says, when God saw that what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So their actions actually changed God's mind. God is omnipotent. God doesn't change. We change in line to God's will. We can't keep living. See, there are actions and consequences to the things we do. God does not change. When you fall in line with God, then things will start happening. When you step out of line with God, see, there are a lot of preaching out there about grace. Grace is fantastic, and we are products of grace. We won't be here if not for the grace of God. But at the same time, there are spiritual disciplines, and you can't ignore that. The same thing goes with prayer, with fasting, with tithes and offering. Those are spiritual principles that we cannot change. So no matter what grace says and what anybody says, you can't keep living your life. Even the Bible says it. You can't keep living your life and thinking, okay, I'm still loping in sin and something will change. No, then your heart is saying, God, I don't believe in you. But if you're a child of the Most High, you think, okay, yes, I can make mistakes. Things can happen. But as long as I humble myself and come back to God, things will change. And this is it. God revert from what he was going to do. So I'm not, where people say, you can't keep living your life in sin and expect something else to happen. And it's clearly documented in the Bible. So grace is there for a reason. But at the same time, we need to be people that fall in line to God's word. Agreed? Brilliant. Good. Number 3, why do people fast? For the release of anointing. There's some teaching out there. A lot of people believe as well that fasting is actually it's something that is done in the Old Testament. And because Jesus came and died for us, it's not something we need to do anymore. If you go on the internet, there's so many things out there that... that's why sometimes I thank God for plucking me and planting me here and, joining with the likes of men like this, The Word of God is really important, and everything we do is based on the Bible. Okay? Whatever is not of the Bible, it's not right. As Christians, everything is here. Okay? We don't go by doctrine or theology or whatever. Nobody's, God has given us everything we need in the Bible. Okay? For the release of anointing, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. It says, now they were in the church at Antioch. No, sorry, can somebody read this for us actually? I've got to that stage where I'm dropping my verses, so I'm not a very good reader. Yes, please, Gordon. I'll get you, Mike. 1 to 3, yeah. He's on.
Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Thank you, Gordon. Keep it. Keep it. Yeah. We've got the greeter amongst us today. So after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Okay? So you could see that set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work I have called them to do. So there's clearly a demonstration of anointing there. And they laid their hands on them and then sent them off. Matthew said this morning, let Chris lay your hands on you. Because he has that anointing. There's something in there. And the laying of hands, the impartation of the Holy Spirit, something we can't explain. There's so many things in the spiritual realm that we can't explain. But we cannot be blinded to say these things don't happen. Because we can't see things with our physical eyes and we can't explain them doesn't mean it's not there. Okay? We breathe air. Can you see it? No. But we need it to live. Okay. And thank you for what you did this morning, Chris. That's really good. And that's the demonstration of the Bible. And when we say come out and be prayed for and let hands be laid on you, there is an protection that is expected there. And we do those things in faith. It's not because we want to do them to show off. There's a reason why we do it. Anointing, for the release of anointing. But in this case, they fasted and prayed as well. So we could see the dynamic of the spiritual elements in there. They fasted and they prayed. They just didn't pray and lay hand, they fasted, because there's something there when we fast. There's a spiritual dynamic to it. Okay? Gordon, Acts 14, the next chapter down, and verse 23.
Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they put their trust.
Thank you. So they appointed elders for every church with prayer and fasting. So the elders, like we have in our church, in the likes of Matthew and Paul, they oversee what happens. They hear from God, they tell us what to do, the direction the church should go. But this was done with prayer and fasting. You can't just get any Tom, Dick and Harry to lead the people of God. You need to subject yourself to God and think, God, what are you saying? So, yes, so Tony, you're laughing. It's true. You can't get it on the canary. So, it is, you know, so you can't, there are decisions that we make that we need to hear from God to say, why are we making these decisions? Who is God, you know, telling us to set in place? And those things can be done with prayer and fasting. Amen. The fourth reason why we fast, I put on there for revelation. For revelation. So, this is Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. God, and you're reading, by the way, you know? Yeah, cool. Thank you.
9, 1 to 3. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes.
Okay. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting, and I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Thank you. Then go down to verse 20 to 23. So this is what he did, and let's see what happened. So the same chapter, verse 20 to 22, please.
While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision.
Thank you, Gordon. I have come to give you insight and understanding. So Daniel saw the angel Gabriel and gave him insight and understanding because of the actions he took. He secluded himself, he took himself out, and he fasted and he prayed. And then he got the revelation. Talking about revelation, when I was reading this book, and talking about the normal fast where Jesus undertook, when Jesus went and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and there are men, women, people that have done the same, you fasted 40 days. But you need to know that God is telling you to fast. It's not something you take lightly. You can't say, no, I'm fasting. You need to separate that time to seek God's face. So when people go on a 40-day, 40-night fast, or God might be calling you for a 3-day fast, like God has called us as a church next month, to go for a 3-day fast for healing. You need to know God has said it. And you go with expectation. In our case, we're going with expectation. We want to see healing. We want to see the people of God get healed. And we're going to fast for 40, for 3 days. But, yeah. No, but go, yeah. We start somewhere. So we're going to start, 3 days, but our heart is really important. Expectations are really important. And this is where I don't want you to... And you know what? Expectations breeds faith, you know. When you're expecting, faith rise up and say, you know what? This is what we want to do. We want to seek God for this. And let faith rise up as you do it. We're not doing it to show off. We're doing it because the scripture says so, and we believe in the word of God. Yeah? There's one chunk of Bible passage we're going to read. Gordon, are you on any, is it New King James Version? New International. I want you to read this from New King James. I'm going to give you my Bible. So it's the last we're going to look at today. We're not going to do questions and answers today because of time. We're going to do it next week when Matthew talks about healing. So make sure you're here next week. So it's Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 29.
And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I live with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And his father said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting."
Thank you. How many of you in the room are reading NIV or NLT? Hands up. NIV or NLT. Did you follow that story? And yours did not say, I'm guessing yours just says, this can only come out by prayer. Full stop. There's no fasting there, yeah? But the New King James Version says, so, verse 29, so he said to them, "This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting." It's a New King James Version. That's why it's important. When we sometimes study the Bible, we should go back to the original text and make sure nothing is missing, you know, because sometimes the new translation, they might take it by phrase just to make the words easier for us to understand. But the downside to that is we might lose some vital things in the context. And this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. This kind. What kind? This was a demon-possessed child. And Jesus healed him. He said, "We will do the works he did." He said, "Greater works by prayer and fasting." Ladies and gentlemen, fasting is a spiritual tool that we should not neglect. Fasting is a spiritual tool that can sometimes take us to the next level of revelation we're seeking. Fasting is a spiritual tool that can unlock doors that we've been wedging to open. Fasting is a spiritual tool that God has called us as a church at this time to partake in. I'm going to do it. 3 days. And I've come with an expectant heart. You see, the battles we face, and I've mentioned it before, as Christians, we face spiritual battles. And the lie the devil has made us believe is that it does not exist. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil exists. But he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Yes. My dad says something again. He says, Amen. 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 It means God still does wonders like he did then. We just don't serve him like they did. Okay? He still does wonders like he did then. But we need to serve him like they did. We're going to look into ourselves, look into what habits we've formed around ourselves that has made us away from God a little bit, and try and subject ourselves to fasting and see what God would do. Let's come with faith. Let's come with expectation. And if you have any form of craving in terms of addiction that you're praying to God for, have it in your mind that as the church goes through this phase, there are some addictions that might need some medical intervention as well. But as Christians, we shouldn't be slaves to those things. You can come and see me, speak to the elders, and we will work out ways where we can actually overcome this together. But you not know if you're addicted to it until you actually abstain from it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go with our... There are so many elements to fast, and that's why I wanted a question and answer session as well, because I'm sure there are different things in your mind. How do we fast? If I want to fast, what? And hopefully we're going to look at that next week. Different phases to it, the practicalities of it. How does it happen, affect me in my normal day-to-day, in my going to work and coming back? I need concentration. I need energy to do this. How can we manage? And we will look at those questions next week. So come next week with questions as Matthew speaks about about healing in relation to fasting. And we'll see where God takes us. Thank you, church. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.